good. But outside of that, let's work our way through the agenda. In setting up the agenda, Eric Lindquist, by the way, is on vacation up in Maine. But in discussing the agenda, the idea for this week was to try to do brief background data on things that have changed since last week. And in the future, we will hopefully be able to compile all that in advance of the meetings. And then we can move along and talk about drought plan responsibilities. And I know I'm interested in hearing the update from folks at Demis who are doing the heavy lifting right now regarding municipal water coordinators. But anyway, if we could, let's start with introductions. I've written down a lot of names based on initials that I'm seeing on the screen. But if we could go in some kind of order and just have people say who they are and where they're from, that would be helpful. Would it be good for me to read off initials and just confirm who that person is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start off with initials SH.
That would probably be me, Bruce DeParking from PPH.
Yep, that's who I thought. And then RK.
And then RK.
It's me, Bob Kenny from Demis, Region 1.
Thanks, Bob. And RB.
RB.
I think that's me, Rob Barron, Connecticut DPH, Drinking Water Section.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks,
And
Rob.
I'll say MH.
And I'll say MH.
Bruce, this is Mike Hage, DPH, Drinking Water Section. And if you have Teams, you can show who's the participants all when you see multiple people there and that icon, you click on it and we'll show all the participants in this meeting, just an FYI.
Oh, got it. I have to be careful with Teams because it exceeds my computer bandwidth sometimes.
Same
So
here,
I will,
Coach.
let's do this. I will do that in silence. And why don't we proceed to discussing conditions? I forwarded a message from John Mullaney of the USGS, and maybe it would be good to start with him to talk about streams and groundwater conditions.
Yeah, I can do that. Let me just share my screen real quick and hopefully I can. Wait a second. All right. Give me a. See my screen?
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I've just been using the same backdrop for this. I guess, what is this, meeting three, right? We don't have too much of an update since the other day. The thing that's changed a little bit is because of the recent rainfall. Many of our stream gauges have at least temporarily moved back up into the normal flow range. With at least a half an inch of rain just about everywhere or more. Some places, I guess I hear, what, 5 inches of rain in East Lyme? So some things have improved, at least for the short term. And you can kind of see that reflected in the sort of stream flow index for the state that we have on our WaterWatch website, where things actually kind of came up a little bit, and we're probably trending back down a little bit again this morning already, almost on that same path. In the last week, the area is trending, some of the lowest flows were in the Housatonic and Quinebaug River basins. Places that were not trending below normal right now are sort of the Central Coast and Thames basins. Nine out of 10 of our real-time groundwater sites have below normal or much below normal groundwater levels. However, lastly, just to make this quick, our monthly groundwater data came in at the end of last week, and we've got below normal or, somewhat lower water levels in 39 of our 68 wells. So just a little over half of the wells showing I was in the process of trying to take a look and see if you can figure out a pattern here. But, you know, whether some of these tend to be more in the glacial till or the stratified drift, that sort of thing. I'll let you know if I come up with anything on that. And that's all I really have to update for now. That's different from the last meeting, substantially.
Okay, thanks, John. Does anybody have any questions?
So, if John, not, is Mike Cage. John is Mike Cage. If you're looking, because I wasn't part of the last meeting, so when you go to the groundwater levels, you said there's 39 below to that kind of graph you showed there. How is that different from last week? That's obviously more, but what it was last week, just FYI.
Well, last week we don't have data for most of those wells because most of those sites are only measured at the end of the month. So we've got about 68 wells in our network, and 10 of those are real-time, continuously recording. You know, they report, you know, hourly or more in some cases. You know, usually we use the daily mean values for those, but there's only 10 of those sites. The one thing I think the last time I reported there was, I have to double check, but I think there was 5 of 10 of the continuous sites, you know, 4 more actually dropped to below normal just in that short time period, I believe. So they are dropping some, but it's a little hard to discern the pattern at this point. You know, some of that may have to do with the ground, you know, how the groundwater storage was in different locations earlier in the year. And also where they are in the flow system and, you know, whether there has been any localized precipitation at least during the recharge period. We don't usually see groundwater levels rise in our wells very often this time of year.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
I'll just add to what John was saying. This is Tim Sargent with the U.S. Geological Survey. I'll share my video here. With all the rain, I'm at home in Waterford, southeastern Connecticut. We've been getting dumped on all morning. We got a ton of rain yesterday. As John mentioned, there was a report of between 4 and 5 inches of rain in this area. The current conditions map John showed is already, well, I don't know if I'd say outdated, but there's no longer any sites in the red category he showed, meaning the 10 to 25 percentile. Everything is either orange, green, basically in the normal range and continuing to improve, I guess I would say. Now, granted, that's conditions are changing by the day. Certainly, this isn't alone going to get us out of potential drought conditions. I just want everyone to be aware this rain has certainly helped short term, at least. Hopefully it continues.
Hopefully.
Thanks, Tim.
That's all. Just wanted to add that.
If there are no further questions about the streams or the wells, let's move along to Nicole Belk of Weather Service. I think I saw her on.
Yes, I am on. Mia, share my screen here. Let's see. We'll grab this one and share. Okay. So, yeah, I just want to show you the radar of kind of what's going on right now. And, you know, over the past few days now, Saturday we had kind of a light to moderate steady rain. And then the past few days we've had these showers and thunderstorms and some of them producing locally heavy rains. Tim, as you mentioned, down in southeastern Connecticut, there's some slow-moving thunderstorms in that area and some popcorn showers and thunderstorms moving from northeast to southwest, which is atypical for this time of year. But we have the slow-moving low that's actually backing in from the west, affecting our area. Before I mention weather, is Doug on today?
Yes, I'm on today, Nicole. Yep.
Okay, great. Do you want to speak to the precipitation forecast, and then I can kind of delve into some of the other weather, the odds and whatnot?
Yes, let me give a quick briefing. I'll make it quick. The model data, the GFS over the next 2 weeks, is showing about 1.5 to 2 inches of rain. Much of that was forecast to fall yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So, and I think we are getting it. keep in mind that when a model says an inch and a half or 2 inches, it's basically spread out over the entire state. Whereas when you get these showers and thunderstorms, you know, you get isolated locations where you get 4 inches of rain and other places where you don't get any at all. So it's a, that's a simplistic answer, but it that's the way the summertime diurnal showers and thunderstorms work. But we have gotten quite a bit of rain over the past 2 days from these. So I would say that the model probably underestimated the amount of rainfall a little bit. However, going forward after tomorrow, the model run is quite dry. So we'll have to watch it for the next, 10, 11, 12 days. There was only about half an inch to an inch of rainfall in the model run as of yesterday from, say, Thursday of this week through a week from Sunday, about 10 days later. So we could get right back into the drying situation. And at this time of the year, with the amount of evaporation you get on a nice hot day from the plants, that sucks the water out of the soil pretty quickly. So that's the current update, and I'll turn it back to you, Nicole.
Thanks very much, Doug. Okay, so some very interesting things going on. As you mentioned, with the rain, haves versus have-nots. Just a quick reminder for the month of the May precipitation was below normal for the lot of the state, with some of the driest areas being Hartford County, Tallinn was kind of short, Fairfield and New Haven, and even Litchfield too, 74%. So we had a couple places close to normal, basically the easternmost counties, Windham and New London counties. So let me show you. This is my cue. The best way for you to see the rain that's fallen is for me to show you the real-time Kokoroz map. It's not going to have the co-ops and the airports, but you get a feel. This is what everything reported up through 7 a.m. today. The stations are plotted if they reported 90% of the days. So sites on here only get into the final report if they reported every day where there was rainfall. So please keep that in mind. This is kind of the floor. There may be a couple, there may be some points missing a day or two. But normal for Connecticut for the month of June, normal rainfall is between 4 and 5 inches. So I'll just kind of give you a summary. Across northern Connecticut, you see the numbers in through here. Give or take, across much of northern Connecticut, the rainfall totals ranged between 1 and 2.5 inches. We had some locally higher totals. The locally lower totals up here, these are actually, I believe these are 30 days reporting at June 1st through the 30th, right around an inch of rain. So this area going down to the airport, let's see if this guy... This one's short a day, so it's probably higher. It's got to be higher. Around an inch of rain in this neck of the woods, and I'll get to the airport in a moment here. When you get into southern Connecticut, other areas that were comparably dry were Middlesex County, mainly 1.5 to 2 inches, and then down in Fairfield County. And there's some locally higher and lower totals, but still kind of on the dry side. The big winners here are in New Haven and New London County. So let me show you New Haven. See up here in Waterbury, this doesn't include today, it's reported through 7 a.m. today, but it doesn't include what's fallen since 7 a.m. today. 5.37 inches with a 431 nearby in Naugatuck. So other areas having less, but still more impressive than the remainder, those other counties in northern Connecticut and whatnot. New London County, looking on the south coast, it looks like that this area near East Lyme and Lyme, well, I guess they're a little low, but here we have a 5.5 inch rainfall total for the month. Other areas between 2 and 3. But, you know, just to kind of sum up on this, the rainfall from the state perspective, when these all average out, are probably going to be a decent amount below normal. I don't know what, you know, I've still got to compute the final numbers to see if we trip the 65% of normal or less for the 2 month period of May and June. But, it's been a dry month overall. Okay. So next I want to talk about Hartford. As in Bradley International. Okay, so this, again, is that area in far north central Connecticut. going up into the Connecticut River Valley in Mass too, where the rainfall amounts just didn't hit. Bradley is sitting at 0.82 inch for the month, which is ranked as the fifth driest June on record. So they would need to have greater than 55 hundredths of an inch to not tie for 10th place. So just a heads up, it's not representative of the entire state. It is representative of that area, though. So just for your info, anything that falls before midnight Eastern Standard Time or 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time will go into the total for the month. So just a look at temperature departures from normal, because by now we're near the end of the month. We get a pretty good picture of where we stand. I have some locales to the right where I just pulled up the straight up departures through yesterday. And we're looking at anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 degrees above normal, a little lower in some spots like Danbury. And then just here with respect to the temperatures, temperatures start off today and tomorrow around or a little below normal. And then going Thursday through the weekend, early next week, temperatures average normal to above normal. So we're generally looking at highs in the 80s, lows in the mid 60s to around 70. So we'll still be a touch warm overall. And the outlook for July 7th through the 13th, the week two outlook a little on the low side. I think, Doug, you had mentioned a lot of the showers are going to be in the next couple of days, but maybe next week we might be a little bit short. And then the 8 to 14 day temperature outlook, we have a high probability, 60% to 70% probability of above normal temperatures. And this is the last slide, just an update. The new week to 3 to 4 outlook, July 11th through the 24th, shows a continued likelihood of temperatures averaging above normal. But the precipitation, we've gone from that, before it was showing below normal, a week ago, and now we're looking at equal chances of above normal, normal, or below normal rain. So, I mean, maybe this is a good thing, you know, maybe we can recoup something in the latter part of the month. And that is the slide deck. Let's see, I'll stop sharing here. Okay. Here we go. Any questions? Hello?
If there are no questions, I don't know. Let's proceed with DPH. I know DPH has a lot of information to share today.
Sure. Thanks, Bruce. And Bruce, just by the way, when you first started talking, it started pouring here. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. So Steve Harkey, could you share your screen first with the drought tracking spreadsheet?
Are you seeing the spreadsheet now?
I am. Is everyone seeing that?
Yes.
So these are the surface water capacity measures and trends. We're always trying to enhance how we track things. So one item that we want to add to the spreadsheet is a map that shows where these systems are and who they serve. But that will come along in the next couple days or so. So you'll see what we try to do, instead of just putting this in alphabetical order by water system, we wanted to show at the top the drops and trends. So you'll see that Middletown is at the very top with a drop, and Steve can go into the details here, but I'll just give an overall idea of what we're trying to show. These are all the systems that have surface water supplies. We have quite a historic record for these reservoirs, and we get these readings, as you'll see the most recent reading update date there in column C. One of the things that we are working on with our water systems, all of these water systems, is to we are putting out a circular letter, hopefully in the next day or two, which will require weekly updates to us. so that we will, through the summer, receive weekly updates, and this information can be updated when we receive that. So the trending has been a decrease, but again, Middletown being the trending at greater than 10% decrease. So, Steve, if you want to say a little bit more about the details.
Yeah, so Middletown, since the last reading, which was the 21st, so they did a reading on the 28th or in the week of the 28th, and they had a 10% decrease, over a 10% decrease from the previous week. So that's in 1 week, they lost 10% of their capacity. So I thought that was very significant. I reached out to Middletown, and they believe it's due to the high demands that we're seeing across the state. And one other thing is South Norwalk Electric and Water. They just reported that they're approaching their first drought trigger, and I reached out to them to see what they were doing in response to that, or at least when they believed they thought they were going to hit their trigger. They don't believe they're going to hit it next week, and they're currently working with the town to put out messaging to conserve water. So I thought that was pretty proactive of them to start doing that. And the other thing is Aquarion. I don't have Aquarion's most recent data just because of the way their system works. I reached out to them to get it. But I do know that the southwest corner with all of the Aquarion systems are in, you know, Greenwich and Stamford are in their first drought stage, and it's not based on capacity because you'll see their capacities are in the 90 percentile. And it's really their modeling shows that they would hit, they have a percentage of likelihood of hitting 90 days of supply within a certain time frame. So based on that modeling, they went in, at least the Greenwich system went into the first drought stage, and I think they're kind of trickling to the other systems, because they've asked for a 20% reduction for Simsbury, Newtown, Stamford, Greenwich, Darien, and New Canaan systems. So those are all the systems that are now under mandatory 20% reduction.
And so Steve, can we can we show the next the drought tracking spreadsheet?
Yes, let me.
So the other thing, this is for surface water supplies, and you know, you can note that Middletown has a well field along with their surface water supplies, and we're looking to add in the groundwater piece to our traditional report. So this is what Steve was mentioning. This is something that we can share as well, and we keep up to date as we get reports in from every utility that has to report to us on if they have any restrictions or any conservation status. Steve mentioned, Aquarion systems have been reporting mandatory 2-day week watering, and that started a little bit ago. And also New London approaching the first stage. What we've done is make sure that we're making points of contact with our larger water systems as well to make sure that they are paying attention to their triggers. Putnam, for instance, has a trigger in their diversion permit. They have a surface water supply and a groundwater supply. When their surface water gets to a certain level in their stream flow, they have to shut that source off, which they've noted there, and they have to switch to fully groundwater supply. So, and then we list all the other systems that we track just to make sure that, you know, you're aware of what those other systems are and how many people they serve. And again, we want to add a mapping component to this so that you can see the distribution of service areas that go along with all of this. So, DPH team, is there anything else that you'd like to add, Mike or Rob?
No, just to let everyone know, it's Mike Cage. Based on the discussions we had with larger water companies in the state, the water demand. Water demand went up considerably for all of these systems, with the exception of a couple of municipalities, you know, like Bristol and Norwich. Norwich is their high biggest customers are casinos, and the casino's not fully active yet. And for Bristol, it's Lake Compounds, and that's it's not active. So, but the rest of municipalities and large water companies are really experiencing demands that they say on the average about 40 to 50% higher than the normal for this time of the year. And that's significant. So, but maybe those couple days of rain we've been getting on and off, it helped to tame the demand a little bit. But if it continued at the rate that was going on last week, we were expecting definitely reservoirs to drop very fast.
Yeah. And I'm currently showing something we're working on, which is a map that shows the distribution of all the different systems and what their trends are. It's a work in progress, but, you know, something that we are working on.
Oh, Steve, this is top secret.
Oh, my fault.
Top secret. That's just for internal. Those are internal. We're working on a dashboard and throwing around some different ideas. So that we could place all of this information in one place. So more to come on that as we start to finalize those concepts internally. And that's
Hi.
All. That's what
also,
we have.
This is Doug Hoskins. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I just had a report from Regional Water that Southington requested their emergency interconnection be activated. So not sure if you were aware of that yet.
We have heard from Southington. If you can go back to the list there, I know that Southington reported to us that they were in a, I can't remember, they were in a certain level there, mandatory odd even watering. And one of the things that we're asking all of these utilities to do is to share with us what, in fact, they are doing. Because some of them, as you can imagine, tell us everything. Some of them, not so much. So when we get permission to release this circular letter, which is a couple pages long, of regulatory requirements, we'll share that with you just to make sure you're aware of what we're asking for on a weekly basis. And Doug, to your point, to let us know about the opening of a interconnection is really very important for many reasons. One is interruption and interference with water quality. As you can imagine, sharing water between water systems might interfere with certain water quality and sampling requirements that we have. So we have to watch that very carefully, and those utilities should be notifying us. So, Doug, thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
And it's possible one of my engineers know already, but, you know, we're looking to update this information at a moment's notice. So,
yeah, the tricky thing with interconnections is sometimes they'll say, oh, I thought the other end told you, you know, not my end or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think that we're trying to get them, all the utilities, more into a formal process so that they are not, you know, forgetting to let us know. And also another thing with Regional Water Authority, I don't know if you're all aware, but as Mike mentioned, over the last 6 or 7 days or so, or 8 days or 10 days, actually, there's been dirty water complaints because of the high demands, you know, throughout their entire system, from Cheshire to West Haven to East Haven to Brantford to New Haven. So much so that we had a call on Saturday with the mayor of New Haven, who was quite concerned with the lack of communication and what was going on. So Regional Water Authority has, in the last couple of days, done a great job at communicating what is going on within their system, across their entire system. So there were quite a few concerned customers. And what's going on with COVID-19 is, you know, the hospitals and nursing homes need no surprises when it comes to their water supply, but there's been some dirty water complaints at hospitals and nursing homes. So it's been quite a handful over the last few days with that issue. So, and like Mike said, we believe this rain will bring a reduction in demand just naturally because people are not outside watering or filling up their pools. So anyway, that's what we have.
Ryan Tetro, do you have anything to add about private wells?
Hi, Bruce. Yes, we sent a circular letter out to local health departments on the 25th, requesting that they provide any information to DPH about any activity related to well permits. They might suggest a well was either hydrofracted or deepened, which might suggest that there could be drought issues in that specific town. I'll share that circular letter in the chat here.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions about any of the DPH info that's been provided? If not, Jack, would you like to say anything about PURA's activities right now?
Well, at this point, what we're doing, and first of all, thank you for all the great work the drought group has been doing over the years. And ironically, as Dave Lev asked you to say, when are we – we tend to get a lot of rain. But I want to also introduce today on the call is Kathy Pedamonte, who's a utility examiner with PURA, and Gail Lucina, who many of you know from the Water Planning Council, is a lead rate specialist. They're also going to be part of the drought group along with Maria. And basically, we're doing working in conjunction with the DPH in terms of what type of financial impact this may have on some of the water companies. So we're going to be looking at devising some type of reporting mechanism to PURA so that we can stay on top of this, because obviously when there's less water, there's less money, and it has an impact on the companies and ultimately has an impact on the consumers. So we're going to keep monitoring that, and then we'll be providing updates to the group on a regular basis. Thank you. And I'll be sending a formal notification to Eric about the appointment of Kathy and Gail to the group.
Okay, thank you. Any questions about anything there?
And I should also say, Water Planning Council, as everybody knows, is an integral part of working hand in hand with drought management, and there'll be a report, I believe, by you on Tuesday, Bruce, at the regular meeting in terms of what's going on. It's very important that we work in conjunction and that we don't have mixed messages going out to the public as we get through this. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you. Steve Anderson, I see your initials on here. Would you like to update us on anything from agriculture?
Sure. Hi, everybody. Let me see if I can share my screen here. I had a little a blip with this last week, but everybody see that? Hopefully,
yes.
Can folks see that?
Yeah.
So this is Palmer drought severity, and it's just showing the northwest corner of the state. This is as of Friday, June 27th, showing the northwest corner of the state still in moderate drought. Rest of the state near normal, according to the picture anyways. I'll go to the next one, which is crop moisture. And again, that one's showing, again, as of June 27th, abnormally dry for the entire state. And then show you a third one here. And this one is just showing the topsoil moisture, where it's short or very short, showing as greater than 50% for the whole state, 100% of the state, I guess, is what that number is. But shows that that we're short in both in the topsoil layers as far as water supply. Next one I can put up, I guess, is the veg dry. I know I don't put a lot of stock in this, but you can see the concentration of moderate and severe drought in the northwest corner. And again, this one's as of June 28th. So, you know, I suspect this week some of this stuff might look a little bit different by the end of the week. Other than that, there's a crop conditions report that, there it is. And they don't have the individual farmers listed in this like they used to, but again, this kind of gets to the soil moisture conditions. If you look at the left-hand side of the page, last week, there was 68%. If you add up the very short and short in the topsoil, last week that was 68%. It's a little less this week. And then as far as the subsoil, that was 50% last week. Now it's 56%. So, I mean, that's kind of the same results, really, or similar. And looking at other data from the Climate Data Center, I like to look at the precipitation needed to end the drought. And that seemed to have gone up over the last week, maybe by an inch in the northwest corner of the state, and went down in the central part of the state from 4 inches needed to end the drought to 3.39 inches as of yesterday, and then went up in the coastal region. So I don't know what's happening there, but again, I think we'll have to see how things go over the course of this week, but not really a lot of significant changes on the ag side. So I think that's it for me. I don't know if there's any questions.
Okay, if there are no questions, let's get an update from DEP, and I'll let the various folks on the call from DEP fight over who gets to say anything first, if you have anything to say.
I think we're all speechless, Bruce. I don't think Bill or I have anything from fisheries. I know Helene's on the call and can give an update on the fire danger, and Doug can probably pull home the rest of it.
So this is Helene from the Forestry Division. And just to give you a quick forest fire danger update, when we spoke last week, we had gone from high to very high. All of this rain in the last few days has dropped the fire danger significantly. We are now considered at a moderate level across the entire state. Of course, that doesn't account for individual areas that might have a little bit, you know, might be drier. But overall, we are rated moderate, and we're actually on the very low side of moderate. So a little more rain could kick us into low fire danger. And as it is, I would not see our fire danger going back up too high for at least another week. You know, and even barring no more precipitation, it would take about that long to reach high again. End of report.
Thanks, Helene. I have a question for you. You mentioned that there can be areas that are lower, you know, rather than being moderate or high statewide. There could be some that are in greater fire danger. And when we're looking at drought on a regional basis, would you be, let's say, for instance, we were contemplating escalating the Northwest Hills, say Litchfield County, into a higher level of drought, would you be able to provide a greater level of detail that would allow us to know, say, that fire danger were high there while it were only moderate in the rest of the state?
We do, in certain situations, we are able to break up the fire danger according to, sometimes we do it north-south, sometimes we do it east-west. Unfortunately, with all of the rain gauges that we've been using, it's shown it to be fairly uniform. So we wouldn't have uniform across the state because they're located just far enough apart, you know, to kind of show the same level or enough of a level of rainfall. So we wouldn't be able to pick up those little areas unless it would just be from what we're seeing on the ground. And then if we are getting to that point, we can certainly fill in with that. But if we had a way to break it out right now, if it was different enough, we would have done that with the current forecast. So Kevin's not on the call today, but I'm assuming because it's moderate statewide that that's why. There wasn't enough differentiation in the various sites that we use to develop the fire weather. But again, if moving forward, we are starting to see an increase of fires just in the northwest corner or in other areas of the state, we can certainly point that out on the call. Right now, our fires have continued to be fairly uniform across the state. There's no one particular area where we're seeing more activity.
Okay, great. Thank you. Doug Hoskins, do you want to chime in now?
Yeah, sure. Doug Hoskins, Deep Water Planning and Management. So no specific stats at this point, just some anecdotal stuff. As I mentioned before, Regional Water reported to me on an aside that Southington wanted to activate their emergency interconnection. And they also reported themselves as far as well as others in the Quinnipiac Basin, Southington, Meriden, and Regional. They have some water diversion permits with us that are tied to Quinnipiac River water flow. And recently that water flow has been getting down to trigger level, which would require reductions in their diversions for public water supply. That is City of Meriden, Town of Southington, and Regional Water Supply, Regional Water Company. And so that was pretty notable. It doesn't happen very often. When it does, it's got to be getting pretty bad. And also, as is typical with these kind of dry spells, droughts, we get a lot of calls in from the public complaints about watering trucks and landscapers coming in and siphoning out water, pumping water into their trucks at various locations throughout town. And people see this and will call. So that's another sure sign that things are going down. And I guess the other thing is with Steve's report about ag stats and how that's going, and temporally having this happen so early in the season, I think creates a higher level of concern because of the seeding that's going on with some crops at this point. I've been getting call from some town folk and Summers who are very concerned about a farmer who's pulling out a lot of water from a pond and making that water level go down quite a bit. And that's for this critical seeding period. So just wanted to mention that. Some interconnections. And that's it.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Am I overlooking anyone?
Bruce, this is Bob Kennedy. Do you want an update from Demis on the municipal water coordinator status?
Well, that's exactly where I was planning to go next, and I just wanted to make sure if anybody had any discussion of conditions, we got that in first. But absolutely, I'd like to hear more about what you're up to and what you're overcoming and getting this taken care of.
Sure. So sorry about that. I thought you were just asking about just general updates. So with regards to the municipal water coordinator initiative, we are reaching out through our five Demis regional offices. So, example, I'm Region 1, Lower Fairfield County. And we're going through the emergency management director and the chief elected officials to identify who in the local community is that water so far, it's been the emergency management director. In other cases, it's been someone affiliated with our public works. I think we even have a one so far down here. I would be able to collect all the data from my region and consolidate that and Eric. One thing that we wanted is in one of the regions, there's been some questions raised by two councils of government. Been listed by the regional coordinators data that this is duplicative of the book. And so after I familiarize myself with the book,
I'm sorry, this is Doug. I'm losing Robert Kenny.
I can't hear him.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me any better now?
Yes.
Sorry. Something about the teams. I'm not sure why. So with regards to the municipal water coordinators, the five regional offices have reached out to the EMDs and the chief elected officials to obtain the identity of that person at the local level to fulfill that position. We've seen a combination so far in some of the responses of the emergency management director, someone from the public works department, and I think I said one case it might have been a public health official. The one issue that we have come up against in one of the regions is the two council of governments have been basically asked by the regional coordinator to assist with some of this collection, which is not an uncommon occurrence. And that has raised a couple of questions by the council of governments as to whether or not this is duplicative of the WOOCs. So after I familiarized myself with what the WOOCs are, I went back and forth with Eric, and I think we were on this communication as well. It appears that the books are more of
a... We're losing you again.
Sorry. Long-term strategic planning organization versus the municipal water coordinator, which is going to be more operational or tactical as far as sharing information. So,
still losing you. Can't hear you.
I don't know what it is with the teams. I'm not sure why. How about now?
That's better.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's
unique to this office, and it's unique to teams, and I don't know why. But so we are overcoming the issue of the Council of Governments in one part of the state raising the question about this duplication of effort as it relates to the books that they're part of. So we're working through that in Eric's office. So we'll have a more comprehensive list in the next couple of weeks.
So we could, hi, this is Lori Matthew. We could help with that maybe to clarify the WOOC's role as a process that is through my office at the Department of Public Health. And the WOOC is a planning
right
group and not an implementation group, as you mentioned. So maybe there's some confusion on, it seems to be confusion. So maybe what we could talk offline about how we could work together on that messaging.
That'd be great, Lori. Appreciate that. I think okay. We're going to have to work with those council governments that are raising the question in that one part of the state. In contrast, in other parts of the state, some of the council of governments has actually pushed the message out from the regional office to the CEO's hand and said, hey,
please make sure you respond. So,
okay.
It's back. But yeah, we'll follow up offline.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Bob, and thanks, Lori. It's important to note that these municipal water coordinators did not exist in the previous drought plan, but have a very key role in the current drought plan. And we're at the stage right now where we're supposed to be confirming who the local water coordinators are. And it's great that Bob and the other folks at Demis are putting so much effort into it. But at the next drought stage, the local water coordinators have some significant roles. So we want to keep at this. So if we don't have to go to the next drought stage, that'll be great. The work will be done. But if we do have to go to that stage, we need to be ready with these municipal water coordinators. Now, I'm struggling to find the agenda here because I have so many windows open. When I call into meetings, I tend to print something. When I try to join by Teams, I have a million windows open and have trouble finding my stuff. But it looks to me that we have now discussed changes of conditions and the local water coordinators, which I think is the key thing. And now, and that's obviously part of the actions, responsibilities specified in the state drought plan. Do any of you in the agencies, especially the agencies who have so many obligations, you know, through your own statutes, regulations, but also through the drought plan, do any of you have any thing you'd like to say about the actions that you're taking? Not so much about the conditions that you're measuring or paying attention to, but actions that you're taking that you would like to highlight.
Bruce, not anything beyond what we've already said.
Okay.
Bruce, it's Jack. Bruce, I just want one thing that this will be on the agenda at the Water Planning Council meeting, as I already indicated. And of course, on the Water Planning Council, you have the four PURA, DPH, DEEP, and OPM. So we will be talking a little bit more about moving forward and how we're going to craft, you know, getting the information out to the public, because the worst thing, as I mentioned earlier, we don't want to have mixed messages going out. And, you know, in 2016, we actually had press conferences with the governor, and we went to an empty reservoir, and we really went quite aggressively to let people know that we had an issue. So we might want to, we'll probably discuss strategy at the Water Planning Council meeting.
That will be great. You know, one thing I think we need to make sure that we have everything ready to go at that point. This thing with the municipal water coordinators will be a key thing. But absolutely. And it's good timing that the Planning Council is meeting next week, right?
Next Tuesday. It'll be a Zoom meeting at 1:30.
Okay, that's good timing. The next thing on the agenda looks to be to I just lost my agenda. It's here somewhere. Is to what are the next steps? What are any actions to be taken? And I'm curious, does anybody believe that the state should be escalating above the current initial stage? I can tell you that according to the drought plan, the criteria we would look at are very mixed. Keep in mind that, and if you have a link to the drought plan handy, you might want to look at it. If not, I'll just very quickly breeze through the criteria, not focusing so much on the specific numbers, just how low groundwater is or whatever, but the time frame. So groundwater 2 out of 3 months below the 20th percentile, which means low or worse, but groundwater hasn't been low for 2 out of the last 3 months. Stream flow, same thing, 2 out of the last 3 months. Those two things don't react very quickly. Precipitation, 2 month total below 65% of average. We don't have the most recent precipitation data that will be locked in after we cross into July tomorrow, but 65% of average or below for 2 months. We might be there for some areas. Reservoirs were really not all that close because it's the average levels being less than 80% of normal. I didn't notice any reservoirs in the spreadsheets being below 80% of normal, but I couldn't really read them that well. The ag indexes that Steve Anderson referenced, Palmer Drought Severity Index, I believe we were at the initial stage for that, for at least Litchfield Hills. Crop Moisture Index, we were at that one statewide. Fire danger, at least at this time, we're still in moderate, according to Helene, although she said it might drop to low. And Drought Monitor has part of the state in the D1 level, which is their second level. And so that would qualify. I don't have a scorecard handy, but it seems to me that we're not obviously into the stage 2 of drought, but I'm curious if anyone sees otherwise.
Hi, Bruce, this is Lori. I would agree with you. But I think it's worth watching very carefully, given what we've heard about the forecast and given what we just been through. If it wasn't for this rain, we probably would be saying something different. But that's my thought.
Anyone else?
Yeah, Bruce, Doug Hoskins, did we schedule a next meeting yet? I can't recall. Do we have regular meetings?
Well, I'm going to be getting to that, and this is a good segue to that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, I'm not saying, yeah, let's go up another level, but I think I would be more securely in the stay where we are mode. Given our next meeting date being sooner rather than later. That's all.
Yes. And there has been a suggestion to meet on a weekly basis. Honestly, I'm wondering if that might be too often because it limits I'm concerned about the ability for people to really look at the data in a rigorous way if there is so little time available. And so we do plan to meet next week, regardless of whether we think we might meet at a more long-term basis or whatever after, but we do plan to meet next week. And I think as we do this, in Eric Lindquist's request to everybody, he said we would like to be able to collect all the data prior to the meeting so that we can compile it at OPM and shoot it out to everybody. We spent, I think, close to 40 minutes or 30 minutes just going through data that everyone might have been able to read through in 5 minutes and then come in here with some very focused questions. And in the future, maybe we can't do it because of the upcoming holiday weekend, but in the future, we should try to get all the data compiled and circulated to everyone and have everyone. So if you happen to be the overseer of a particular data set, whether precipitation or reservoirs or whatever, if possible, and you if possible for you to interpret it in accordance with the drought plan, for instance, that we've had 2 months of precipitation below 65% of normal, if you would have the ability to come in with those data, or if we at OPM have the time to help whoever's compiling data to go through the drought plan. We might be able to get a lot of this done ahead of these meetings and make a better use of the meeting time. And one of the reasons I say that is that we're going to have some policy stuff to grapple with as well as we move along. Just going to the first stage raised all these things that we have to do. Undoubtedly, the same kind of things will come up when we move to the next stage. And so let's try to get data together and circulated ahead of these meetings. We will schedule a meeting next week. Given that the Planning Council is meeting Tuesday, would people like to try to squeeze a meeting in ahead of Tuesday, or should we go later in the week? Some of us will be in two water meetings on Tuesday, so I would not relish the thought of adding a drought meeting the same day. But what are people's thoughts about scheduling next week, early or late?
Late. That's my vote.
Same here. Late.
Agreed.
Well, let's call that a majority. We'll aim for late in the week, which I take to mean like Wednesday afternoon or later, and we'll schedule a meeting. And let's see what we can do for compiling data in advance of that meeting and seeing how it works out in the meeting. And one thing I was thinking that would actually make good use of weekly meetings would be maybe each meeting to have each of the agencies do a little presentation about their data, how they collect the data, how, you know, the geographic scales those data are available at. It might allow other people to, you know, ask questions and make comments that might help us, you know, see nuances in the data that could help us with this. We won't do that yet next week, perhaps, but that's one long-term prospect, is that each of us kind of reintroduce all the rest of the group to the various data sources that are available. And so I think we're now at the point of adjourning the meeting. Like I said, we'll get back to you with a meeting doodle poll kind of thing, aiming for late next week. And if you have any comments about how these meetings ought to be run in the future, if you see ways to do them better, more efficiently, whatever, by all means, let me know. Running meetings is not my strong suit by a long shot. And with that, is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? With that, I guess our meeting is adjourned. I hope everybody has a nice Independence Day. It's going to be a weird one, but I hope everyone enjoys the holiday.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks, Bruce.
Take care. Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, all. Take
Thanks,
care.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Have a good holiday. Bye. Bob, give me a call.
Okay, I will.